We'll open up the word in the book of Isaiah, and of course the Old Testament, lots of prophets and judges and kings being led by the Spirit of the Lord, and some had it easy, some were a bit more difficult, all because of also their mentality towards the Lord. And we'll just read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18, and this is the beginning of the book of Isaiah, obviously, chapter 1. We'll just read in verse 18, shall we? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. And this is a promise of basically what is to come. Obviously, Israel at this time was not really listening to God. There have been times where they were very were wanting to do what the Lord had done. The Lord says, and making the sacrifices, of course, and trying to do the right thing. Unfortunately, many did go off track and made a complete mess of it, more or less. I'll just read in verse 20. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How is a faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged it, but now murder is. And the Lord is saying here to Isaiah, these were good people who wanted to do the right things, but unfortunately they've gone off track, and there is now two choices. Either you change, repent, and do the right thing, or you continue your merry way, and there'll be death and destruction for you. Pretty much two choices. I know which choice I would take. But of course, the verses 18 and 19 talk about something which is to come, talking about a promise of what is to come, talking about forgiveness. Though your sins be scarlet, they should be white as snow. And of course, this is also a prophecy about Jesus Christ, that he would give himself as a perfect sacrifice, that his blood would cleanse us. And that's, of course, what happened. And also about faith. And if you're faithful to the end, you shall receive blessings not only today, but also enter into the kingdom of God. Let us go to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31. I was reading a bit in the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews, of course, shows or contrasts the Old Testament with the promises of the New Testament, of what Jesus came to do, and that the Old Testament, the law, that it was a very difficult thing to uphold, all these different ordinances and laws and things which you had to do to stay right with God, but also to continually stay right with God, which is why people had to sacrifice the turtle doves and other things, and once a year also giving the sacrifice of goats and bulls. And chapter 31 of the book of Jeremiah, we just read in verses 31 to 34, and this is basically the perfect prophecy of what was to come. And we read in Jeremiah 31, verse 31, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Of course, at that time, Israel and Judah were split. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. Just again saying, you know, I've given Israel this chance, and they've stuffed it up. I had this perfect covenant, but they've gone doing other things. In verse 33, But this shall be the covenant that I make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. I will forgive their iniquity, I will remember their sin no more. And like I said, this is the prophecy of what was to come, this new way. The old way was going to be put aside, and this is something new, and it was not something people expected. It was totally out of the ordinary and totally contrast to what they were doing at that time. as a law in their insides. At the time of Jeremiah, they're probably thinking, how does that work? How does that going to happen? Do I eat something that it comes inside of me, like Ezekiel eating the script? But something else was going to happen. It was going to be a personal relationship between people and God. And you don't have to hear it from the stage, but God will teach you. And of course, we know that when we received the Holy Spirit, we also received the mind of Christ. The Bible started to make sense. And sometimes, obviously, we needed guidance, but praying in the Holy Spirit, and if you wanted to know something, if you would pray in the Spirit, God will give the inspiration. Like Nina was saying in a testimony this morning, that she had a dream about this tree being cut down, and then the next morning opening up the Bible and reading in Luke that if you do not bear fruit, the tree shall be hewn down or cut down. And that's an amazing thing that the Lord is just so clearly just speaking to you personally. And we've all had that, of course, that we open up the Bible where we're seeking for an answer or thinking of something in a talk or in a gift, and our answer is right there and just gobsmacked when it happens still, because you just know the Lord is working at that moment. And, of course, I probably can imagine that the prophets were not always welcome. As we read, some prophets were not very well treated, Jeremiah being one, being thrown in a pit, in a very yucky pit for a long time, because he was saying things which the king didn't like and what the other people didn't like. So what did they do? Threw him in the pit, let him stink. And he got in trouble by doing prophecies. And what he was saying, basically, there's going to be a new gospel. What we know today will change. What we're doing today is not going to be what we'll be doing in 1,000 years' time. There's a new way coming. And he also said what was going to happen to Judah at that time, that the king of Babylon would come and take it, and what would happen to the king, and they didn't like it, and made Jeremiah's life miserable. But he continued despite the hardship. And of course, we know him today as a fantastic prophet who said what was going to happen, and of course God blessed him with that. And of course, at that time, the law stated what you had to do if you did the wrong thing. You had to make sacrifices to make atonement or forgiveness of sins, and there are a lot of things that you had to do. And going to the temple, there was always a lot of blood around because of the sacrifices of all the animals. And which is why, of course, they were selling animals at the temple in Jesus' time, that they would take a bird and kill it for that sacrifice. Let's move on to the book of Hebrews. And the first time I was reading Hebrews, I was in a train in Holland, and I was just so enthralled with the book of Hebrews, just that it was so clear how the old way was put away into this new way, and it was so clear what Paul was trying to say, that this is the living way. God has chosen his people, and it's not through man's wisdom. It's through through grace, and it's through Jesus Christ giving himself as a perfect sacrifice that you can have life now. And that there's so many people who've gone before who fought for the gospel, not receiving the promises, but they fought for that the promises can be given at a later time. And in Hebrews also, it's talking about, the old covenant and the new covenant. And just one verse in chapter 9, Hebrews 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, or the Old Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also necessity be the death of a testator, for a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is no strength at all while the testator liveth, which is why Jesus Christ had to die. The Old Testament died with Jesus Christ, and when Jesus Christ rose from the dead and the Spirit was given out, the Holy Spirit, that new way was enacted. The testament was enacted. Chapter 10. Of course, that new way had to happen because Israel continued in sin. They were taken captive. They were taken away from the land of Israel and Judah. And only a remnant came back after the captivity. And then chapter 10, verse 1, showing the insufficiencies of the sin offering. Verse 1, for the law, having a shadow of the things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Long-winded, basically saying it could not go on the way it was going on because there were so many sins and the people were not repenting. They kept on doing those bad things which they were doing. There was no repentance. And they repented maybe for a moment, but then got back to their old ways. And now with the Holy Spirit, of course, it's been made a lot easier that we can walk in the Spirit. Like we heard in the testimonies, automatically people thought, drinking alcohol was a bad thing, so I'll put that away. Smoking, I won't do that anymore. Swearing, I won't do that anymore. It's not that someone taught us. It's through the Holy Spirit that we've been changed, that we act differently. And of course, by praying in the Spirit and coming to the meetings, that we build ourselves up in that Holy Spirit and we can be that testimony. Something everlasting had to come. Not every year another goat or a bull, but something had to change. And of course, that was Jesus Christ. We'll just read on in chapter 10. And this is taken from Psalm 40, verses 6 to 8. And that's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 to 7. It's exactly what's written in the book of Psalms, Psalm 40, verses 6 to 8. Let's read in verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh unto the word, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. But beforehand, Jesus already knew what was going to happen. He knew that he would have to come to this earth and give himself that as that perfect sacrifice. Says, I come. And of course he had it difficult when on earth and in the Garden of Gethsemane. He cried, Lord, if possible, take this away from me. Take this cup away from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. Like we heard in a testimony this morning as well from Sister Monica, it was being an ambassador of the Lord. Can I do something for you? It's not what I want. It's what you want, Lord. And that's one of the most difficult tasks, putting yourself aside, selfless act, doing something for somebody else. And Jesus gave himself for all the sinners. All the sinners. And that must have been it doesn't really make sense, does it, in a natural sense? One would not really give his own life to save a friend. But for your enemies or those in sin, it's an amazing a gift, grace, and mercy that someone's able to do that. Verse 8. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body, of Jesus Christ once for all. I praise the Lord. We did once and for all. Christ gave himself once and for all. We don't have to bring goats to the meeting. We don't have to bring bulls to the meeting and sacrifice them on the altar. We just do that on a barbecue and we just eat it. That's a lot better than bringing it to the meeting, of course. But we do the sacrifice. We remember Jesus' sacrifice on the Sunday by eating a bit of biscuits as remembrance of his broken body and drinking a bit of grape juice as remembrance of Jesus' spilt blood, thanking him. Well, of course, we do that daily, but in a meeting once a week. And, you know, through this, you know, the prophecies were fulfilled. What we read in Isaiah and Jeremiah, those prophecies were fulfilled. There was forgiveness. Now, though our sins were red as scarlet, they're now white as snow. They've been forgiven. And it's by God's grace, his mercy, and these blessings which have come as well are, you know, an added bonus, really. You know, just to that the Lord just says, I am with you, and gives a healing or provision that we can just look to him and just thank him for the things that he's done for us. And, you know, Jesus Christ was crucified by those who believed in the prophets. They believed in Isaiah. They believed in Jeremiah. Those that were killed by their fathers, they believed the words of the prophets, and they knew someone would come, would change things. But when Jesus came, they did not realize and did not see that what was before them. And they were ignorant. And like the scriptures say, they were hardened in their hearts. They could not hear, they could not see, whilst, you know, that Jesus was standing right in front of them. The healings that he was doing, people miraculously healed of blindness and people who could not walk, being born in Bethlehem. I mean, if they would have asked, Jesus would have said, I was born in Bethlehem, except they thought him to be a Galilean. Of course, no prophet came from Galilee, they said. And it was, you know, it's very different. They were afraid. And people don't like change, even if it is for the better, because something which they don't know, it's difficult to change to. And the same today, of course, you know, change what you know to changing to something which is unknown, even though it's better. For people, it's a very difficult step to take. And for me, it was 3 years for listening to the gospel and knowing it was the truth from day one. But being stubborn, I thought, okay, there must be another meaning of life somewhere. Could there be a meaning of life part two? Nope. There's only one meaning of life. And praise the Lord for that, because it's confusing otherwise. It's like when the Jehovah's Witnesses come to the door. Unfortunately, I'm never home when that happens. But, you know, there's only one gospel. Don't tweak it. God made it very perfect. And to change the word to make it more accommodating to others, that's just wrong, which obviously the Bible says as well. And, you know, if you don't change anything from what you're doing, and if you're not getting any results with what you're doing at the moment, obviously by not changing, you'll still continue to get those results. But if you want to change, then you have to change what you're doing. And, you know, the gospel is still out there. Jesus Christ hasn't come back yet. It could be tomorrow, it could be next year. Well, until that time, we still have this task, of course, to go out and tell the people. And, you know, we still expect people to come to the meeting, new people, and all the people said, and have baptisms, and people receive the Holy Spirit and see, you know, people's lives change. Because that's what God has promised. You know, we see it happening in Pakistan and everything, but, you know, Australia is still, it might be the lucky country, but, you know, people do need to realize there is something even better than having, you know, a boat and going out on a Sunday and trying to swim with dolphins. I mean, that's nice, but there is something a lot better, than all the people said. We'll just finish up in verse 35 of Hebrews 10. Verse 35, and just a prompt to us just to not to give up. In verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which have great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he shall come; he that shall come will come, it will not tarry. know, some of us maybe who came to the Lord 30 years ago or 40 years ago would have thought that the Lord would have been back a long time by now. I thought that 10 years ago. But the Lord's not back yet. So could tarry for a bit longer. And verse 38, but the just shall live by faith. Faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition or destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And that's what we believe. We believe the saving of our souls and of our brothers and sisters. That's why we help each other and pray for each other, that we just, you know, be there for one another, that we all get to that finish line and continue in the faith. And all the people said...